Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. Proverbs chapter 31. We want to just read the first verse. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you on this day for our mothers. We thank you for the heart that you have given to mothers. A heart that a man doesn't have. But a heart that you have given them to have a special care and love for their children. And we have experienced that love in our own lives from our mothers, and we've seen it in the lives of our wives as they have exhibited that heart toward our children. And we thank you for them today. We pray that you would bless them today. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts from your word. As we look at a very important mother here in the word of God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to wish all of you mothers a very happy Mother's Day. You know, there's a lot of special days in this country. There are a lot of special observances every year, but there are none that are more important than this day, Mother's Day. As a bit of history, it's interesting that Julia Ward Howe, the lady who wrote the lyrics of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and Anna Jarvis, and Anna Jarvis's daughter, whose name was also Anna, all of them had a part in the creation of this day. But it was the second Anna Jarvis, the daughter, who particularly promoted the idea of having a holiday, Mother's Day. And it was President Woodrow Wilson who made it an official holiday in 1914. And what is even more interesting is that Anna Jarvis eventually ended up opposing the very holiday that she had helped to create. And she opposed it because it had become so commercial in nature. We know something about the commercialization. Mother's Day is the most popular day of the year to dine out, if that's your plan today. Don't shoot me at 11:59, but good luck to you. I read somewhere sometime back that telephone traffic today, whether it's landlines or cell phones, will be some of the highest traffic of the year. As sons and daughters, even the ones that will see their moms today, they'll still call them this morning or text them this morning to wish them Happy Mother's Day. But I think in spite of the commercialization, it's a good thing that mothers are honored on this day, because mothers do and mothers have done so much for us. We want to look at a mother here today in the Word of God. She's a very interesting mother to me. Notice again verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. We find a name here that we find no other place in the Old Testament. The name Lemuel. We're told he was a king. And immediately we began to run through our minds the names of the kings of Israel and Judah, and we come up empty. Can't think of a king named Lemuel. His name means for God. His name means unto God. His name means belonging to God. I believe Lemuel is another name for Solomon. And that means that the mother that we are reading about here in this first verse is Bathsheba. She's the mother we want to think about on this Mother's Day. And something that should stand out here to you mothers are Solomon's words. And remember that Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived. And yet, his mother taught him things. Children, it doesn't matter how wise you are. It doesn't matter how much education you may have. There are things that your mother can teach you that you'll never learn anywhere else. That's one of the things I think we see in this first verse, or we're reminded of. And it's what she says. It's what this mother taught her son that convinces me that Bathsheba is the mother we're reading about. There are two words that we want to notice in this verse. The first one is the word prophecy. It's an interesting word. If you look it up in the Hebrew dictionary of your Strong's Concordance, it's word 4853. You find that it is found 66 times in the Old Testament. 57 of those 66 times, the word is translated burden. That's what this word means. It means burden. It means load. It also means bearing and carrying, which refers back to burden and load. So you don't have to be a Hebrew scholar to understand what we're talking about here. What we're looking at here is someone who is bearing and carrying a burden. And that someone is a mother. I think that's one of the characteristics of a mother. Some of the greatest burden bearers, some of the greatest burden carriers that we have ever known or that we will ever know are mothers. And the burden that this mother carried moved her. This burden that this mother carried constrained her to do something and be something. And that was a teacher of her son. That's the second word that we want to notice in this verse. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. This mother taught her son this burden that she was carrying. And that's what this proverb is about. That's what we want to think about this morning, this burden that this mother carried, the burden that she taught her son. Look at verse 2. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? What is it that she wants to teach him? Verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Bathsheba could think about a king who had given his strength to a woman. She could remember the destruction that came to this king's life, as well as her own life. If you like, or you can just stay right here, but you can In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read about David. And we read about a time of the year when kings went forth to battle. And David didn't go. It was a time when kings were to go to battle, but David didn't go. He stayed in Jerusalem. And we see in 2 Samuel 11 and verse 2 that it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. David gave his strength unto a woman. He gave his strength to Bathsheba. She gave her strength to David. And she's teaching her son Solomon here in Proverbs 31 about this burden that she has. She remembers that eventide. Her husband was away at war. She remembers washing herself, but washing herself where she could be seen by the king. And he saw her. And the lust burned in his heart. And he sent for her and he lay with her. Bathsheba remembers that eventide, and she remembers the destruction that came to David's life and her life and the wife of her husband. Her husband Uriah was murdered by David. The child that she bore died. The deed that David had done gave great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And she could recall the words of Nathan the prophet to David when he said to the king, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house." Those words came to mind, no doubt, when she remembered how Amnon forced his sister Tamar to lie with him, David's son and daughter. And in retaliation, Absalom, another of David's sons, had Amnon killed. Those words came to her mind later when she remembered how Absalom, David's son, had led a revolt against him. And in the putting down of that rebellion, Absalom was killed. What a burden this mother had on her heart, because she knew something about the depths of sin. She knew something about the consequences of her sin. And that burden moved her to teach her son, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." Mothers, I would ask you this morning, if you have that burden for your children, and if you do, are you teaching that burden to them? Are you teaching your sons not to give their strength unto women as David did? Are you teaching your daughters not to give their strength unto men as Bathsheba did? It's so important in this day. I don't have to tell you that we're living in a nation that is obsessed with sex. We were talking the other Wednesday night how we're in the time of year when the streets and the sidewalks are full of people wearing as close to nothing as they can. The women in tank tops, in shorty, short shorts. And the men, in many cases, aren't really much better. And in that message, we reminded ourselves of God's definition of nakedness. We find that definition in Isaiah chapter 47, where God says in verse 2, "Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, and uncover the thigh. Listen to those words. Make bare the leg and uncover the thigh. The thigh is the part of the leg between the knee and the hip. And in verse 3, we saw that God, what he calls it, when the leg is bare and the thigh is uncovered, he says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. God's definition of nakedness is a bare leg and an uncovered thigh. And we said in that message that by that definition, there are a lot of naked people running around Southern Pines. Many of them in the name of bodily exercise. But it's not only in the streets. They're in the stores. Go to the grocery store. Go to Walmart. Sadly, some of the people that you see claim to be those who know the Lord. And I mentioned to you in that message something that Kent said in a message many years ago. He said, you can't go out of your house without a wave of filth hitting you in the face. And the place that it hits us is right in the eyes. Our eyes, amazing, amazing creations. The best, the first, the most sophisticated camera ever made. Our eyes take a picture of what we see. And the picture's transmitted and developed in our minds, and it's permanently stored. And it can be brought out and used to stimulate sexual thoughts in our minds, thoughts that when they are entertained lead to action in the life. Mothers, do you have a burden for your children maintaining their innocence, their purity? It's a big burden in this day. Do you have the kind of burden that Bathsheba had? The kind of burden that makes it out of the heart and into words. The kind of burden that manifests itself as teaching in the life of our children. But there's something more in these words. When Bathsheba says, give not thy strength unto women. Mr. Creech has taught us many times over the years that there are two women presented in the book of Proverbs. Two kinds of wisdom. First, there's the wisdom that's from above. The wisdom that is pure and peaceable and gentle and full of mercy and good fruits. Wisdom that is without partiality. Wisdom that is without hypocrisy. We read in the book of James. The true wisdom. And the true wisdom is not some sort of abstract term. True wisdom is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We read over in Corinthians, Christ is the wisdom of God. In him, Paul tells us, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's the true wisdom. But then in contrast to true wisdom, the Lord Jesus, we have the strange woman, the wisdom of this world, the wisdom that is earthly and sensual and devilish. The wisdom, as we find here in the book of Proverbs, that flatters with its words and drops as an honeycomb. The wisdom that is smoother than oil. The wisdom that ravishes the mind and the heart with the things of this world. That John tells us about. In 1 John 2:15, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Wisdom that intoxicates the mind and leads to destruction. It's that woman, Christian mother, that you need to warn against. It needs to be a burden on your heart. A burden that manifest itself in the teaching of your sons and your daughters, that they're not to give their strength to this strange woman. They're not to give their strength to the wisdom of the world, because it will destroy them. There's so many places where the strange woman flatters with her words, and where her lips drop as an honeycomb, where she ravishes and intoxicates and leads away. Television, videos, music, video games. But she has a new place that's come about in recent years: cyberspace. In cyberspace, you say that word and you think, wow, it's this vast expanse. Cyberspace is as small as the cell phone that your children carry with them. One of the growing problems in this country. In fact, you don't go many days without hearing about it on the news. Unfortunately, many times it's a teacher that's sending sexually explicit messages or sexually explicit videos to young people. It's not just other young people sending it to each other. According to an article in Psychology Today, dated March 18, 2022, more than 90% of teens in the U.S. have their own cell phones. Think about that. And if you really want to know the impact of it, you look up and you find that there's 42 million teens in this country. 90% of them. 90% of them. 38 million of them have cell phones. And the messages that these teens are sending to each other are not just words. Cell phones have cameras, some very sophisticated cameras. This article goes on to say that about 15% of youth, that's nearly 6 million teens, have sent sexually explicit material, and more than 25%, that's nearly 10 million, have received it. Those numbers aren't really a whole lot different than a study published in 2010 by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancies. That study suggested that 20% of teens ages 13 to 19 have shared nude or semi-nude pictures of themselves, either via text or by posting online. 11% of young teen girls ages 13 to 16 admit to sending suggestive photos of themselves. Mothers, you need to listen to Bathsheba. The mother with a burden for her child. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Now look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. These verses are another of the evidences, I believe, that Bathsheba is the mother here, and Lemuel is King Solomon. In verse 10, she talks about a virtuous woman. And one of the things that happens in the life of a virtuous woman is that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Bathsheba's husband Uriah trusted in her. He went off to war and he trusted his wife to be faithful while he was gone. But his trust wasn't safe with her. She betrayed that trust, as we saw a little earlier. I believe she's thinking about that in verse 11. And she's thinking about these things, and she asks this question: who can find a virtuous woman? And the answer is, there aren't any. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Bathsheba learned that. That she was one of the ones that is not good. She learned that in her flesh dwelleth no good thing. She learned that out of her heart proceeded evil thoughts and adulteries, fornications, murders. There are no virtuous women. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We've been bumping into that verse over and over and over in our recent studies. The answer is Romans 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who can deliver us from the body of this death. He's the only one who is good. He's the only one who is virtuous. He is the only one who has virtue. And the only way that a woman or a man can have virtue is to get it from God Himself. That's where Bathsheba got it. Look at verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Whenever you come across the word scarlet in the Old Testament, what you're reading about is a one-word message of the gospel. That word scarlet is a reference to the female scarlet worm, the Coccus illicis. Dr. Henry Morris wrote a book. He wrote many books, but in his book, The Biblical Basis for Modern Science, Dr. Morris says this: when the female of the scarlet worm was ready to lay her eggs, she attaches her body to a tree, and she does it in such a way that she is fixed there. She never leaves that tree, and so the eggs that are deposited under her body are protected. As this mother worm died, this scarlet fluid stained her body and the wood. He says, from the dead bodies of such female worms is where the people of the Old Testament got their scarlet dyes. And then Dr. Morris says this: what a picture this is of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the tree of Calvary's cross, shedding His precious blood, staining the wood of the tree of Calvary with His life's blood, that He might bring many sons unto glory. He died for us, that we might live through Him. And then Dr. Morris mentions Psalm 22 and verse 6. Psalm 22, as we've talked a number of times, is the crucifixion psalm. And in that verse, the Lord Jesus says, I am a worm. I am a worm. That word worm means scarlet. The very meaning of this word that we see here. The Lord Jesus died for us that we might be clothed with scarlet. That's what's in view in Bathsheba's words in verse 21. She was clothed with scarlet, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why she could talk about virtue in verse 10. Because she had the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is of Him. That's why she could talk about the heart of her husband safely trusting in her, because she was clothed with scarlet. There's a very instructive contrast that we find in the life of Bathsheba. The first time that we find her in the Scriptures, she was wearing no clothes. Here, we find her talking about being clothed with scarlet. That's the same contrast that we find in the life of the Gadarene demoniac. He lived among the thorns, the tombs. He wore no clothes. But then he met the Lord Jesus. And what do we read about this man? The Lord cast the demons out of him. And we read that when the people of the town came out, they saw this man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Clothed and in his right mind. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They covered themselves. They made themselves aprons. That word means loincloth. You know what a loincloth is. It's very, very short attire. But when they trusted the Lord as their Savior, the Bible says that God made them coats, long, full-length coats of skin. He covered them. We see this contrast in Bathsheba's life. The first time we find her here in the Word of God, she's wearing no clothes. And then we find her here in Proverbs 31, clothed in scarlet. And look at the change that's there in her life. Look at verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. The distaff is a staff that holds the material that's being used in the spinning process. And what is Bathsheba spinning? She's making clothes. Verse 21, all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. Think about it. Here's a woman who has gone from wearing no clothes when we see her for the first time in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And then we find her here, and after she's clothed in scarlet, after she comes to know the Lord Jesus as her Savior, her burden is clothing and being clothed. Mothers, one of the evidence that you have been clothed in scarlet, one of the evidences that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, one of the evidence that you have been clothed spiritually is that you will be clothed physically. One of the burdens of your heart will be to be clothed modestly, to clothe your daughters that way, to teach them. Clothing is a... in the Bible is a symbol of testimony. And if we apply that here, we can say that Bathsheba had a burden for her testimony. She wanted it to be right. She wanted it to be true. She wanted it to be a demonstration that she was clothed with scarlet. That's why she says in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. There's another contrast in the life of this mother. When we see her for the first time, she is using her beauty to entice and seduce and win the favor of King David. But then we see her here, clothed in scarlet. And notice what we read in verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought, the hymn writer wrote, since Jesus came into my heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Turn over for just a minute to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. The New Testament begins with the book of the generations the generation of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to go through the genealogy of the Lord and see who we find here. Notice who we find in verse 6. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. That's Bathsheba. And here she is in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. Only one of four women from the Old Testament who are mentioned here. She's mentioned as the mother of Solomon. But I want us to see that there is a mother relationship in her life that is far more important than being the mother of Solomon. Look over at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and look at verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother. And what is the will of the Father? John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. The will of the Father is that you be clothed in scarlet. The will of the Father is that you be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's how you become the Lord's mother. See, far more important than Bathsheba being Solomon's mother is her being in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ as his mother, because she had put her faith and trust in him. That's how you become the Lord's mother. That's how the Lord is formed. That's how he is born in you. Question on this Mother's Day: are you his mother this morning? Have you done the will of the Father? Have you seen the Son taking your place on the tree and shedding his blood that you might be clothed in scarlet? If you haven't, you can. On this Mother's Day, right where you are, you can become the Lord's mother. You can become part of his genealogy by laying down your rebellion and turning to him from your sin and trusting him to be your Savior. If you know him today, moms, are you looking for a mother here in the Word of God for an example? Well, look at Bathsheba. This woman is a trophy. She is a testimony to the grace of God. She's a testimony to how what Paul wrote about over in the book of Hebrews: wherefore he is also able to save them to the uttermost. Uttermost. All that come to God by him. Do you have a burden for your children today? A burden to teach your children not to give their strength to the strange woman. Not just in a physical sense, but the strange woman in a spiritual sense. The strange woman, the wisdom of this world. Are you a woman who is a mother who is concerned about her testimony? A woman who understands the need for modesty, to teach that to your children, to teach that to your daughters. A mother who understands that true beauty is inward, not outward. True beauty is a woman, a mother who fears the Lord. May the Lord give us this same burden. Not just mothers on this Mother's Day, but fathers. To be that kind of mother, to be that kind of father in our household. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this mother that you have allowed us to look at today. Bathsheba. What a contrast. What a change in this woman's life. The change that comes when we're clothed with scarlet. The change that comes when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Pray if there's anyone lost here today, not just a mother, but a father, a young person. We pray that right now they would surrender their hearts to you and trust you as their Savior. If we know you today, mothers, fathers, young people, we pray that you would help us to see the necessity to live for you and be a testimony for you in this world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.